This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front-runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, and you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Pharaoh, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. Army Hammer Cannibal.
Consider the source.
Hey.
Carl, consider the source.
I love to beat
everything.
Any of that noodle thing left?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Stop, it's a rat!
I like to yuck hard.
You know what? I think I accidentally made that drop real long after the end of the theme song that time. But I'm happy I did that. I'm happy it worked out that way.
Yeah, just a little slice of life.
Yeah, and that's, of course, something Caroline said to promote her Letterboxd account, which you can find at letterboxd.com/Caroline's Farts, where I don't know if you've heard of Pauline Kael, but think of the 21st century of her, if she was obsessed with butts, I guess, and
sure.
Things adjacent to butts.
Yeah, a great mind and poor writing.
Mm-hmm. A great mind that doesn't know how to communicate
combo.
Itself.
yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And I almost did yours. I almost did. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Caroline.
Why not? That'd be on theme for the show, right?
Yeah.
Has a man ever spoken over a woman in a church setting or context?
I feel like you probably could just like play me in the podcast and nail it, basically.
I've told you I've thought about like a second service where it's just me and then I'm playing a soundboard of you and we're having a conversation.
That would be lovely.
But it's
and
actually
I just
beautiful.
Relax.
Whoa. Okay. Great. Let's do it.
Yeah,
coming
you
at
you. Go for it. Please
weeks.
Do. That's worth some cash.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies and the music and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of Christians. Kinda. What would you say we're here for?
We're not here to make fun of your sincere faith.
Sure.
We're here to...
But isn't racism sincere sometimes? So we're so we should make fun of that.
Wow. Okay, so sincerity is out.
Yeah,
we hate it.
Sincerity is out. My P to K isn't going to do it for 2021. I understand what you're saying. Like a lovely sort of kind Christian ethical faith.
Sure. Yes. We'll laugh at all the scaffolding around it. We won't laugh at the sacred parts.
Yes. But we're not here to make you go to church either. We're just here to have some fun. Caroline.
I really couldn't care any less.
It's our first. And that's more and more true as the podcast goes on.
The depths of my not caring, it just gets deeper. To the center of the earth, I will go.
This is our first episode coming on May, Caroline. Summer's approaching.
Oh,
summer
I know.
Is approaching.
It's a big time.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a big time for both of us.
Yes.
My birthday. I just love summer. I'm a desert rat, but at heart.
Do you have any horny summer
and
predictions?
You have some sort of marketing campaign going
Shut
on
up.
This summer.
Not marketing. I'm not trying to get money
you
from
have a,
anybody.
You have your big product launch every summer. And
I do branding,
you
I guess.
Being a certain way.
There's
yeah.
no money exchanged in this. It's, you know, for people that don't remember, Horny Summer 2019. It was a season where we embraced our most base and instinct thoughts and urges and went
right.
about it.
And have everyone else tell them about their sexual conquests except for Kevin.
Well, there's boundaries I want to respect. Also,
sure,
I'm not
sure.
anonymous. Other people, when those things are shared, are anonymous. Right?
That's so true. Did you slip any of your own actual stories in
no,
as
I
an anonymous
I
one?
I thought about doing that, but I thought that would be unethical. I didn't want to do that.
That would be cool.
So
I think it's unethical to not share.
Horny Summer 2020 did not exist. We had other things to do this
past summer. Ill-advised.
Ill-advised, yeah. Literally life-threatening. Horny Summer 2021.
This year, it's going to be real. It's going to be wet and wild.
What will happen? I know. Big things to come. Big things to come.
So anyway, we love May. We're excited. We love seasons.
We love seasons. We love time. We love weather. We love,
we love
the
change.
Sky.
We love cycles.
Trees. We like walks and
we like it all.
The wind breezing through. And we like going to vacation Bible school when we're young little kids and hearing the song Pharaoh, Pharaoh. It's another episode, another edition of Singles Ministry. We're talking about the song Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Caroline, before we get into the whole thing, you've heard this song before, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can catch me belting that out from about kindergarten to third grade.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
I'm trying to think when my cutoff was. It was probably fifth grade, maybe.
Yeah, we'll have to talk with our guests. Everyone remembers the last time they sang Pharaoh, Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the last time you got picked up by your mom.
That's kind of like sad. Everyone remembers your wait, I don't remember the last time I got picked up by my mom. Oh my God.
Exactly.
Isn't that sad? Oh.
It's tragic.
Well, we can't do it alone. We are going to need the help of a very, very special guest. Friends and folks, he is a writer and a comedian. You may know him from the television series Duncanville or Young Sheldon. Give it the hell up for Nick Enderlock!
Oh my gosh.
Welcome
Thank you
scene.
So much.
Hey, man.
Hello.
You are blessed
stage.
And highly
it
favored
is Easter
today.
Service.
Oh,
everything's
my God.
Going on.
Chair dancing, we're bringing it back. See, Horny Summer 2021. This is the prelude.
Absolutely. And just to echo, Kevin, Caroline, thank you so much for having me. And again, sincerely held beliefs are safe, but if you are a false believer, we're coming for you.
Yeah,
if you're fake.
False prophets.
False prophets.
Posers, phonies.
Not safe.
We do have a sort of Holden Caulfield philosophy about that. We don't like fakes and phonies.
Go ahead and shut
you know
it off
else?
Now.
We don't like is lukewarm faith.
No,
you know?
No.
Yeah, you're going to get spit right the fuck out.
That's right.
Immediately.
Lukewarm. That is one of the verses that did freak me out because I felt a lot of ambivalence about a lot of things in the church. And I was like, shit, am I getting spit? And
I
the answer is
years
yeah.
years in the kiddie pool of lukewarm water of faith, you know?
It feels good. It's not too hot, like a jacuzzi that's been on too long.
If you're lightly committed, it's all good, you know?
How cruel. I mean, how cruel to just, like, drag kids to this shit and then just, like, and then just, like, put them on blast. For, I was like, you brought me here. You dragged me.
I'm still starting.
Whoa.
I'm a beginner.
Day one of consciousness and critical thinking. It's your fault. You're in the red.
You're just not going all out, buddy.
Oh, Nick, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Oh, my pleasure.
And a happy Horny Summer 2021 to you.
Why,
you celebrate
you.
It with your significant other.
Why, thank you.
In all the wonderful ways.
Why, thank you. Why, thank you, Kevin.
See, Caroline, it's a fun, wholesome holiday.
Sure, sure. Wholesome.
We have some horny summer skeptics on the line today, and that's okay.
I like to stand by. It remains to be seen how the summer will play out. We'll see what happens.
It's true. I know there's a lot of questions, but I will say, just on like Nick, personal medical question: have you gotten your vaccine yet?
Yes. Okay. I've had my first and second vaccine, fully vaccinated, and
congrats.
Highly favored.
miraculous. Just like I experienced the miracle, it's been. I mean, it's funny. You know, I understand the skepticism of horny summer 2021, which is just like, to me, everything is just so small. Like I have like a coffee on the books for next weekend, and to me, that's like I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I'm like this is like. I'm about ready to
groundbreaking.
That's the thing
in life.
Yeah, everything is absolutely an event. I went to a game night a couple nights ago, and it felt like I was at a wedding because of how joyous it was. And it was like six of us. Exactly. It was not special. It was like the same old crew.
Right.
But it was like, dear God, I guess I'll see you later. Okay, see you later.
Right.
Bye. Yeah. Like. And then we just said goodbye, you know, and we're going to see each other later. So that's
Either of you two feel like you're going to bring a new style to these events now? Like, oh, I can have a different look.
Well, I'm going to actually like dumb it down. I might be white t-shirt boy this summer. That might be
it. Okay, that is, Nick, I don't know if you know this, but that's pretty big. That is big for
me. Oh, yeah.
That's
nice.
It's like pushing the boundaries in a way. And I also think that fits better into horny summer than the usual button-down situation. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Wait, hang on. Wait, the chambray, like the casual. I mean, I don't want to paint a false picture for Nick. It's not like I wore a three-piece suit.
Incredible outfits. Yeah, no, the shirts are amazing, but a t-shirt is like there's a casualness to that I think is excellent.
It can be layered with a jean jacket and not look particularly dirty. You can go to a restaurant in it. Yeah,
there you go.
So
yeah,
perhaps
you gotta hit the scene, you gotta show up.
Shout out to Martin Sheen in Badlands, the Terrence Malick film, where that is his uniform basically.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And did that influence my decision making a little bit?
A little bit, and that's all right.
So take weird to see Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek in a movie where they are children essentially. Which in my head, they've been 60 for 60 years. But no, they were kids. Right. They were once children.
So. Well, Kevin, I'll definitely say, as a person who has had one other conversation with you,
with this new
look, you have relaxed into yourself.
Thanks,
man. And I think that you're becoming a version, and I hope you're proud. As a person who has had a conversation with you at a party, a nice conversation with you at a party, I want to say,
yes,
you seem relaxed. You seem very yourself.
That's so lovely.
I love it.
Thank you, Nick.
I love it.
Oh my God. I will say,
Step into your power.
I associate that night that Nick's talking about as sort of a quarantine eve, because that was one of the last birthday parties I went to. We went to Gabrus's birthday party at like a little barcade.
Oh my gosh.
Here in LA. It was so fun. And
so wild.
And that was one of my takeaways, was meeting you that night. So it was
nice to make a friend. Absolutely.
And I remember, you know, that was one of the last times to meet a person in the wild like that. And little did we know.
There was I think it's kind of reminds me of like a Christian panic of mine, but Kevin and I had a really nice conversation, became Instagram friends, and then this coincided with me going off Instagram for a week. I was like, hey, I just like don't want to be on this app. Literally, I know that Kevin had sent a very nice message the next day that I had missed for weeks.
Oh, no.
So when I finally got it, I was falling over myself. I was like, Kevin, you have to know how much I enjoyed our conversation. This is my fault. I gave up the app having nothing to do with you in our conversation. I gave up on the application, and I just want to know how much I appreciate you reaching out with this message.
That is nice.
It was very
sincere. I spent 2 days grieving that I didn't answer your message.
I did not,
get in there properly.
I left you hanging for weeks, and for that... And for that, I want you to know.
Yeah, listen.
I'm glad you all recovered.
The
though.
Healing has begun. The healing, I think, has ended too. I think we're now back.
I'm so happy to hear it.
Speaking of healing, Nick, we would love to hear about your history with religion and the Christian faith.
Absolutely. Well, definitely. I have a long family history with the faith. My, on my mom's side, but I come from a long line of ministers. My great-great-grandfather was a minister.
Great-great-grandfather.
My great-great-grandfather was a Christman. My middle name, by the way, my mother's side is Christman. That's the Christman, the Christman.
Christman. And it's spelled Christman?
It's spelled Christman.
He's the Christman. Bada bwee, bada bwee.
Oh, mama! And he, this was back in the day, but the way that he lived and he didn't have a salary, but he would live what they call out of the barrel, which means that they would put out, after he would do a sermon, they would put a barrel out and the community would put in their like old clothes.
Trash.
They put trash.
Oh,
right?
No.
Basically, they put like food items in or something like that, but that's how he would kind of collect his salary was out of the barrel. My great grandfather then was mortified. You can imagine being the son who is living out of the out of a barrel of like donating goods. Really resoundingly rejected that. Went into like insurance, and then my grandfather and grandmother on that side both became ministers. They went back to ministry.
Wow.
My grandmother was the first woman theologian who taught at Princeton Seminary. She was like one of the first women teachers there. And then my mom later in life became a minister. So I'm also the son of a minister.
Wow.
So definitely, a lot of church camps, as you can imagine, a lot. Nice. Just like, as a kid, at least, I was just like constantly in church.
You can't remember a secular moment in life.
No, there's none. I mean, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, you were protected. I mean, was there an expectation even at that time that you would inherit the family business in any way?
That's interesting. I do remember my grandfather, I like to entertain. And my grandfather did mention a few times, I think it was like, oh yeah, I think noticed that outgoing, and did make a few comments of like, hey, if you ever were interested in this, this might be something that would suit you. But yeah, so there was, I mean, sometimes it was mentioned, but I don't think pressured in any way to like continue in that way.
What denomination was it for?
Presbyterian. This is Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay.
Presby. Okay.
Presby. Frozen Chosen. The Frozen Chosen.
Frozen Chosen. Wait, what?
Frozen Chosen.
What is this origin of that?
For the staid and the somber energy of these of our congregations, yes, the Frozen Chosen. So these are not the most expressive people. This is like a somber Protestantism.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Was that your experience too at church? Was it pretty formal?
Yeah, I think it was definitely. I think it was definitely formal and like unbearably boring. I think it was just like it was interesting. I think as a kid being like dragged to these things, it was just like I just couldn't believe that people like chose to be there. I didn't know what anyone got out of that, and it wasn't until a little while later that I realized the depth of adult loneliness. This was just like, oh yeah, this is for people who did not have community. Like, this is a place for them to find community and socialize. Yeah, absolutely. Church experience, I think, mostly by and large, I think was much more social than it was theological. I think this was like kind of clearly people who like, needed to talk to someone and needed to like shake someone's hand and touch someone's hand once a week.
Yes, fully.
The touch of a hand once a week. I mean, that'll sustain a lot in life. That'll keep it going.
Absolutely. But yeah, that was, I think that's one thing that like became kind of clear. I was like, oh yeah, there's a lot of, very lonely people.
That's pretty insightful even for a kid, because just always thought everyone was just like all bought in 100%, like love the Bible, love the Bible,
right.
I feel like I really didn't pick up on that until like teenage adulthood.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It was emanating. It really was like so clearly on just people's face, of just this like, it was just like kind of a social desperation to a lot of those interactions.
I will say though, as like a moment of self-reflection, I myself, until probably 6 or 7 years ago, if someone said, how do I make new friends as an adult, like in a new city or something,
sure,
I might have recommend, I think I did on numerous occasions recommend, don't know, go to a church. Because it's
absolutely.
Everyone has to be nice. If they're mean, it's against the rules. And then it's like, you're going to see them in a sort of
regular
rhythmic basis. So it's like, I do get, but I know that particular loneliness that you're talking about where it's like, I think even my own parents are very not church going now. And it's definitely affected like, oh, they have like two friends. Total,
absolutely. You know, so yes, it's like, that's how it works. It's, I think you're right. It's that it is like, it does work in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting as you're mentioning it too, of like, everyone has to be nice, where I think often in pop culture, I think like churches are seen as kind of like a cliquey in group that will like cast you out. And I think that's very true. This is obviously not a monolith and people experience that, but my experience was, these are the outcasts who found a place that would not, it's like, it's much more like the Glee experience of just like, oh yeah, we like, they have to let us in here. There's something about it that, you know, I was like, yeah, they like forced, like they have to let me into their community.
Right. Listen, first church of nerds, like, hey, please sign me up. Enroll
absolutely.
Me, you know,
tomorrow we ride. Well, and that's the thing about like when you get to some of these, especially in Los Angeles, the sort of preachers and sneakers aesthetic, the Carl Lentzes or the Chad Vichas, where it's
cool.
Like, you were probably a bully. You might be nice now, but you were probably a bully, and then you started a church.
Oh,
I don't know.
But
and then that flows from the top down oftentimes. That sort of aesthetic.
That's interesting.
Hard
to
trust.
See, that's a very, you know, again, talking about how this isn't a monolith, that the cool church experience, like, that was certainly not mine. I mean, mine was like, I would say it was like 90% elderly, and then them just like desperately trying to keep youth involved. Like, they would do anything to give you, and they just couldn't. Like, it was just like the youth just falling apart, and just, you know, so I was like, it was
slipping out the windows,
just out the window,
leaving the door,
clawing, just
way.
Killing. You're saying like it's a North Tower on 9/11 situation?
In the building.
Jumping. Why? That's what you just said.
Kevin, jeez.
Verbatim.
God.
Verbatim.
Yeah.
Word for word.
Right.
So that was your experience in like childhood. Did that continue on in high school and college as well?
So by the time I was 18, you know, again, it's like, you know, it was just like really just by duress by the time I was 18. So I had two eras. So when I turned probably 17, 18, it became a choice, and I just never went again. I would go back sometimes for like Christmas Eve. So I would like help make the luminarios out of like paper bags, you know, like I don't know if you all did that, but yeah, you put sand in the paper bag, and then you put a little candle in, and then you roll down the edges, and you line the walkway, and they would light
them
Christmas Eve.
And then you put a cup of gasoline and turn it into a Molotov cocktail to fill up the competing
protest
churches.
At midnight.
You know, it's interesting. Our church was interesting, but it was burned down by an arsonist, but not totally burned out. But there was an arsonist in Encino, and in the valley, and this must have been early 2000s, but someone was just going to religious institutions and lighting them on fire. So that happened to at our church. They like lit like this serial arsonist like lit our church on fire. But across the street, there was a fire station literally across the street from
this arsonist. Did not think it through.
This arsonist, this
I didn't
fool.
Know.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah,
those are two very like cartoony things to be next to each other on a block.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it's like a Richard Scarry town.
right,
there's the church and the fire station and the grocery store.
I don't know if
and
you,
the baker.
I don't know if you guys saw that. That just reminded me, there was a story from El Monte, which is technically in Los Angeles County. Back in January, someone tried to burn that church down.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the anti-LGBTQ rhetoric coming from the pastors and leadership. And then after the whole situation, the pastor like doubled down on it, which was
like,
unbelievable.
Right.
So
yeah, he's kind of notorious, apparently. He does this a lot. Like, this isn't his first church also that he's like founded on his hateful rhetoric. So
and it's like, it's also not the first church that's been burned down. It's like he goes
it's just a
like,
string of fires.
I don't know how this
country.
Keeps happening, but nevertheless, here we are.
This is making me think there was a church on the bottom of the hill, the neighborhood where I live, that like exploded in flames one summer. And I mean, it was California, so just things were on fire a lot of the time. So we all assumed it might have been like electrical or something like that. But now, Nick, that you've mentioned this, yeah. I am going to rewrite history and say that was an arsonist.
That was an arson.
It's because it was also, this was interesting too, because that church was an amphitheater only when it met, and they were just building like their big sanctuary, like their indoor building.
Right.
And that's what burned down.
That's
whoa.
And we were so sad. But now I'm like,
case open.
Oh, no.
We are opening this case.
Yeah. Let's
re-back
open
it. We need to reopen. We need to
re-examine what happened there.
It's Sarah Koenig. It's Serial Season 5. We're reopening the case of a church that burned down.
Like an obscure church really that wasn't even that big.
But Caroline was interested in it, so I guess we'll check it out this season.
One subscriber. Me.
and then by the end of the season, it's like, it was an electrical fire. Okay, yeah. The initial investigation was correct.
But it's still 9 episodes, and they knew that by episode 1.
Listen, the greatest mystery is how electricity works. You know,
I enjoy
that.
Right.
So, Nick, your own personal belief when you made that choice at 18 or 19, was that also like, I'm out on God or just church culture?
I was definitely out on God. Yeah. Interestingly, there was, as I kind of mentioned, there was like a lot of desperation to keep youth, which were really falling away. So they really did invest a lot of time and money into me and my faith. But they had sent me to, so I would go to Trianiums every 3 years. There'd be like a youth conference for a Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. So, they would send me there. And I was the youth advisory delegate. So it was a non-voting member at General Assembly, which is kind of like the Presbyterian Congress. So they sent me there to like, I didn't have an official vote, but I was like.
Pastor's
kind of
Parliament.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and when you spoke for the youth, what did you say?
I didn't have to speak. It was just interesting to observe it. Like, one of the things that was kind of interesting for me, as we're kind of talking about like just the variety, but I came from the First Presbyterian Church in Encino was what I would learn was probably one of those far left churches in the presbytery. Like, I didn't know that until I would introduce myself, and this was maybe Colorado or something like that. Like, oh, hey, I'm from Encino. They're like, whoa, Encino, okay, hippie.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, yeah. So, notorious.
Totally. It was, and so it was interesting to, like, I think was sheltered from a lot of what I would believe to be hateful beliefs of the church. So it was interesting, I'd be like, oh, well, there's also a lot of Presbyterians who are anti-gay marriage, there's one of the things that was like interesting to me was like the head of the presbytery who was elected every 2 years, was like, okay, well, one of the things we need to talk about here is we need to discuss gay marriage. And I believe we need to send it back to committee. I think we need another 2 years. So I guess what they were doing every year to because they could sense there's this huge schism forming in the church, because they would just kick it back, like, because there was a 2-year term, so they would just have these 2-year committees to discuss this issue, and they just kept rolling it out. So it was,
so it's just denominational procrastination.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. they clearly did not want to take a side either. And it's true that they were like, so it was interesting for me to see how, like, really, like, but speaking of faith, they probably spent thousands of dollars to fly me to this youth triennium every 3 years. And I had never been in a mega church, but this was like, they had this mega sermon. They had this whatever a huge Presbyterian minister is. But I remember I was sitting there, and there's like thousands of people, and the minister had this sermon how how Jesus is always with us. But the issue was, she was way too specific about it. So she was like, she'd be like, so when you are getting on a bus and you don't have enough change, Christ is there. And when you're and when you're like taking the paint off the side of the house, and something about the specificity of what she was saying, I was like, this is crazy. I literally had that thought. Like, she was talking about, she was like, and when you're putting up curtains and your dog is barking at you, I was like, this is crazy. There's no way that when I am throwing a Frisbee, and it was just too, like, she was
the
just
relatability.
Too specific.
She lost it.
She lost it.
And when Jim turns to you and says, honey, I want to, but I have a headache, I just can't.
Exactly.
Christ,
I mean,
it's with you.
It was just like, I was like, just when you think about what that meant, I was like, this is, there's no way.
Especially no you way. As like a, probably a teenager there. You're just like, what are these problems?
What
I don't
are you
know.
Talking? Yeah, exactly. It was, so I mean, they basically spent thousands of dollars to convert me to atheism, I guess. Cause I was like, as soon as I heard that, I just couldn't unthink it. I was like, he's just everywhere. Like this, like when you think about that concretely, it just becomes so absurd.
Yes.
So yeah, that was probably like maybe like 16, 17, and then, you know, again, it was just like my biggest concern with our church was just, it was just like, it was mind-numbingly boring. It was just like, I would just like go to the bathroom three times a service, just to, and I would just look at myself in the
just
mirror.
To
I was just
feel
like
something.
Just to feel something. I would just like, I don't know. I was just like it was I would just like needed to like walk around, yes, and like grab a tree branch just to like get a sensation. Like
I'm alive.
So that was the first like that. So I stopped going at 17. Then you know, my mom became the minister of a church, and then my dad my dad became very ill. And so he needed someone to take him to church because my mom would go early. And so I was maybe 33 and I started going for probably like two more years. I would go there just to take my dad there. Mm. And so I was back there.
And you would stay for the service?
Yeah. So I mean, I was there, and I would take him home because she had to do like stuff afterwards as well.
Right.
But it was just, the funny thing to me was like nothing had changed. I was still going to the bathroom three times. I was probably 32, 30, yeah, 30, something like that. I was just eking my way out. Sorry,
there's nothing worse than being in the middle of the row when you want to get out of there. Oh my God.
Praise. Yes, totally. But I would go back, and it was interesting seeing, you know, probably 12, 13, 14 years had elapsed or something like that. And so I was seeing the same church members. They were like seeing me again. And like, you know, it was interesting to go back, start going back consistently as, mm-hmm, as an adult was,
yeah,
very strange.
Especially
very strange.
If it wasn't like, oh, I wanted to come here for myself.
No,
it was like, I was, you know, helping my dad out, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm a church member.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Totally.
Did they try to like rope you into any leadership again or get you up on that stage again or anything?
Hey, Mr. Hollywood, you want to come give a speech to the youth group?
Why are Christians depicted? Yeah. You know,
Well, and yes, famously.
I don't think so. I think that I think they kind of knew. I mean, I'm sure they could just sense my energy, which is just like, it is like, there's this, I was vibrating with wanting to I just wanted to run out. I just literally, like, they must have seen, I was just like, I'm bugs under my skin, just trying to get out of it. So I think they saw that and were just like, oh, okay, this is like just someone doing a nice thing. But they did not try to get me back into.
Yeah,
I would be very scared to visit a church that I went to when I was a child. Ever,
yes, again,
or most of,
yes,
them. I can't imagine, and especially because most of them, the staff there are either gone,
right,
or forever gone from,
yeah,
that place,
totally,
too. I can't imagine,
totally,
what it would feel like. What is forever gone? An insensitive
forever
term.
Gone in the sky.
Thank you,
forever,
by the way, for you.
Gone.
Yes,
I want to be.
I appreciate the word death has become very controversial these days. Forever gone is the preferred.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be less offensive to more people.
Thank you. But yeah, it was interesting. Like, you know, there's something. I think I often felt a lot of like pity and admiration for the people who had stayed. It's like, you know, the church was like literally dying off. I mean, you could see like in the, mm-hmm, 12 or 13 years they had people, new people hadn't come in. So it was just like,
yeah,
you're
big first reformed
were, yeah,
energy.
Yes. There you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting. I was like, yeah, they are just, they're hanging on. They really care. They really, this group of people are just holding on to something that just like, and you can just see it. Like it will not last. They mm-hmm, moved from the sanctuary. They had this huge renovated sanctuary. And there were so few people, like, you know, I think, it was probably like 30 people, but they started moving into a smaller chapel, which was just like a room, but it just like, it got so visibly decayed. The attendance had diminished,
yeah,
so much that they,
wait, you said they had a bigger
room,
sanctuary, and then they had a,
yeah,
smaller congregation
then,
moving into the new sanctuary. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Or that is to say that they moved out of the sanctuary because it was just so spread out. Like, literally, I mean,
yeah,
it was,
yeah,
it looks odd. So they moved into this almost side room. And they would just send up folding chairs just because, like, okay, like 30 people kind of looked okay there, but it looked just pretty sad.
Yeah.
But your mom wasn't the minister at this church?
She was, yes.
Oh, she,
yeah,
was.
She,
okay.
She
so how
became,
was that for her? I mean, that can be, it's really,
right,
hard to be a part of the team because my husband was like on staff for a church,
oh, wow,
kind of similar that was,
yeah,
like a little bit dying and had like,
right,
the vice grip on all the young people left on the church and were just like trying to force us to kiss and stuff,
so,
like,
yeah,
that.
They were trying to force the young people to kiss each other, Caroline?
I mean that, like, more like they were, like, forcing us to, like, be friends. Yeah,
right, you know, right, that kind of stuff.
Like, they kept trying to make us a group, and we were like, we don't want to be friends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you have really nailed that experience, which is just, like I was like, I hate these people. I just, like, I can't, like, just that feeling of, like, whenever
not you're not in a gang. Just, not my crew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. My my mom had, who had been a longtime member, she, when she retired as a social worker, I think when, you know, when my grandparents passed away, I think she felt called to take that up and to become a minister. So she, she eventually became, they really struggled with finding a pastor for this church. I mean, they were just like, there were pastors who were like dealing with alcoholism and so like had stopped showing up. There were just like interesting, like there was a lot of, they had a lot of issues. So when they had, my mom was like really adored by this congregation. That was a really nice fit. But you know, it's interesting. Like, I think her experience was also interesting being a woman in ministry in an older congregation where like there was like a, like as much as people really enjoyed her, there were like, there were men who would just like when, once they had a woman minister, they just stayed in their cars. There were like a couple guys who just like, they just would not, they were like, hey,
and died
they
of
would
heat
come
exhaustion.
All the way to church and then just stay in the car.
They would just stay, they would drop their wives off.
Heaven help them if they hear a woman speak. Oh my God. That's so dumb.
Protest,
I love when people own themselves, you know, in like their protests. It's so funny.
It is so wild. So yeah, that's what they were just like, they're, you know, some like, oh, they would just like you're saying, they would just like in protest, they would just sit in their Buicks for an hour, just like you're saying, just like owning it, you know. So it was interesting, you know, like, so I think she had to deal with that. But, and also, you know, there were some like, and I think that there was some, like, some men would like there's like a time or two also where like when men would find out that there was a woman minister, that like she would get threats, like, which is, it's like, it's, you know, it's very real. Like, you know, there was just like, you know, so that became, I think, very clear. Like they did not want there were people who did not want a woman in charge of that congregation.
But the Presbyterian, like, church does allow for women ministers officially, right?
Yes,
and like has
yes.
for a long time. No? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's also weird too. It's like you signed up for the denomination. Like you guys you guys win a vote. You
know?
It'll happen, you know?
right. But that's totally, I mean,
that's so sad.
Yeah. And again, this is like, you know, also it's interesting to think like, oh yeah, this is also like one of the most progressive, like, Presbyterian churches in the presbytery. So yeah, so you know, that was, I think that was kind of that experience for her of just having to deal with that, and in committees how that would come up was that was pretty bald. Some pretty bald misogyny.
Yes, wow. Yes.
Which is hurtful, but then it's also just annoying too.
Oh yeah,
it's just like waste of time. Yeah.
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 Just sitting in their Buick, cross-armed in the Buick. Just
You showed her.
I hope their loving wives cracked a window for them.
Oh yeah.
and they didn't pass.
Bless them. Right.
So I mean, do you think about it much now? Do you think about God or religion? Does it affect your writing at all?
That's so interesting. I was just, you know, it's interesting being brought on this podcast because it's something where, again, I was so resistant to. I just like. Just like so bodily, like resistant to it. But just as you're mentioning that, I realized my
coming on the podcast.
Totally. I mean, really, like my chest. I was like, just when I think about church, my chest seizes up. Just like, you know,
is it almost a feeling like you're in trouble for something, or it's like a hostility maybe towards?
I think it's a hostility. I think it is. Like I felt like, you know, I think there was, to me, part of it was I felt just so like. Caged when I was there,
like
just like duress. I felt so constrained all the time. Mm-hmm. Also, I think like when I think about it, I think it was just also just like maybe just like so much sadness in these churches. Like it's such a like a
That's
sad
real.
Time.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I as I was thinking about it just like earlier today, I was like my writing partner and I was like, oh, we do have such a shared voice in many ways, and I realized like I think that like a lot of times we're drawing from these odd church, like are the people we knew in church, these like kind of like, and again, it's like this feel of people who were like, we so admired and pitied at the same time, these odd empathetic characters. I think I definitely have made their way into our writing. Just like, you know, we were just talking, I was like, you know, as we were going through, I remember when my, this is like, again, like something that would just like struck me. I was like, oh, this is the kind of thing that I would write, but when my dad passed away, the congregation, my mom's congregation was like really heartbroken. You know, they'd known my dad for years. And one of the ways that one of the women who knew him, she came to my house when my brother was there. She said, "Hey, may I come to go into the backyard?" He didn't know her. He was like, "Oh, sure." What she did to console my mom, she had gone into the backyard, dug up a small pit, planted a pumpkin plant in the middle of her yard. So there were planters, by the way. She did not go into the planters. She just let herself into her, just planted pumpkin, like dug up their yard and just like planted pumpkins for her. And I was like, oh, that's like these, I was like, I definitely just was among these people for years and years and years. And they definitely, I was like, that is the kind of person that we write, I think. Just these like well-meaning, odd, warm, this like these bizarrely warm people, I think. So definitely, I think that's definitely kind of
the kind of people who heard the parable Jesus told about, you know, there was a gardener who scattered seed. Some fell on rocks, some fell on fertile soil, some had to be placed in the middle of someone's backyard without their permission or consent.
So when you go, and I was at my mom's earlier, but you do just see they're just in this like grass field, there are just these bizarre, empathetic, caring pumpkins that are just in the middle. It's just, you know, it's, so I definitely think I met people I might not otherwise have met. I definitely think those those people are in a lot of the writing that I do for sure.
I don't know about you guys too, but I also feel like happy for the I don't know, the odd people that you're describing that you bump into in church.
Right,
because you're there to make people feel welcome and to like try to connect with everyone in your community. It did force you to like stretch yourself into this interaction is really awkward,
but I'm
not going to leave them alone or something like that. So like, how do I, you know, find a way through that? And I learned like different people, like different interests because of it, you know, and it also helped me get out of my like kind of assholery to be like, well, I'm not going to deal with someone who is so strange, you know, or something too.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
totally. So I think that's very real. Like, you're just suddenly you're talking to someone about like their cowboy art. It's like, the art of the West, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely.
Exactly.
So there's just that oddity and so I think that, and I also think like, I was realizing, like, I think a lot of times, like, there's just, like, in writing sometimes, just, like, I would say what I would call, like, casual decay or casual death, which where, like, I don't know if this, what your congregations were like, but a lot of times, like, the coffee talk after hours would just be, like, you know, drinking coffee, be like, oh, Grace is blind. Did you guys hear this?
Yeah. Always like, ailments with old people.
Exactly.
That's
all they talk about. And just like so casually. And so I don't know. I do realize that that's something I was like, oh yeah, that is like kind of an area that I often go to. Like people who maybe just don't realize how dark what they're saying. Like, I think that's often also a kind of a personal character. Yeah. Just casual decay, casual ailment.
I think weirdly, that's one of the things I missed about the pandemic. Or during the pandemic, I don't miss anything about the pandemic, but one of the things I missed during the pandemic was being in these contexts socially, like you're talking about church, but of course they can happen in a lot of other contexts, where you're with someone that you would not choose to be with, because for the most part, we had to choose who we were going to see in the specific ways for the last 15 months.
Right.
And even just recently, I've been in one or two contexts where it's like, I can't believe I'm here. I feel trapped. Yeah. with this person, oh my Lord. But there was something so comforting about that feeling too. And that thing that you're talking about, Caroline, where it's like, this is good that I'm here. It's so funny and kind of unpleasant that it's happening right now.
But
I think it's overall bad for us when we can like design our social life to the nth degree.
Or silo ourselves.
Totally.
Of course.
Anybody
of course.
Who's
Which
like
is not
mildly
like a hot
inconvenient
take,
to
but,
us.
But yes, yeah. and mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to being... around uncomfortable people again.
It's I think that's really well taken, and it's true. Like, you know, I feel kind of like I feel blessed to have just so many amazing people in my life. But part of it is like, I was like, oh, I do know so many amazing people that it's, and I kind of know this, which is just like, it does become easy to like in such a wealth of social wealth that I think we sometimes have in the city and in what we do, that it's like, oh, I was like, oh, the people I know, I don't really have weird interactions. To some degree, like to a large degree, I just don't have, like, I have, the people I know are very like
won't surprise charm- you.
Yeah, they, yeah. The, I, yeah, exactly. And they'll delight me, but it's not like I don't like. I mean, exactly. Like, you know, like my mom who just like people will just give her like rotten fruit for something.
right. Yeah.
It's fruit of the spirit.
Yes, like I mean, just like you know, like they're just like
this is my first time. I'm not really sure how I would navigate this.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes, these like you're saying that there's something where it's like I think you're right where it like in the amazing thing about the like these people that I know I am also cut off from a percentage of the population that yeah, so I think that's really well taken for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, thanks for sharing all your background and story. It sounds
a pleasure.
Yeah, what a singular experience with it though, too.
Totally.
And I hope we're not re-traumatizing you too much, even though that kind of is the name of the podcast is to trigger people.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Back to the bad place.
And I'm into it.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
I have to change it. It's so flat, Caroline.
I love it. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is the format that we do in the podcast where we talk about one song, deconstruct it, discuss it, have a discourse, a dialogue about the song. This week's song is Pharaoh Pharaoh by question mark. Nick, before we talk about this song, I wanted to ask, because we were just talking about this a little bit. This song came up and this is kind of now our unofficial 2 week run of like, you remember this song from when you were a kid in VBS and you did the hand motions to it? We did Lord, I Lift Your Name on High last week. What other Christian pop culture were you exposed to? Did you listen to Christian music even outside of the church?
I did not listen to Christian music outside of the church. It was like, I mean, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, I think was like, and Pharaoh, like, it was definitely the church camp, like those church camp hits were the ones that I was exposed to. Yeah, it would be like that. For that week, I would hear things and then not hear them for another year.
Yeah.
I was just thinking it would be funny if they did a kids' bop for worship songs, but they like toned down the heaviness like for children. And Christ was forever gone for 3 days.
Well, that's what's funny, Caroline. I mean, they do praise bop, essentially, like Pharaoh Pharaoh, maybe the version we're going to listen to today, is from something called Hallelujah Hop. Which is this here. Actually, I'll just share the screen. So
I know there's like kids music, but just like doing.
This is kind of the situation here. Hallelujah Hop. This was
so cute.
An album we had. Let's go ahead and just take a listen to this song. People will know what we're talking about immediately. And hopefully this will trigger some trauma for you at home. Oh, they didn't put the huh.
Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, whoa, let my people go. Yeah. And the burning bush told me just the other day.
I don't know any of this.
I should come over here and stay. Gotta get my people out of Pharaoh's hands and lead them all over to the promised land. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa.
And so on and so forth.
Wait, you guys did verses to this song?
Yes!
Oh, maybe we did too.
What are you talking about? Of course we did.
All I remember is that chorus. That probably is. Wait, that cover said new ways to sing the hits of the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
That probably popularized this song.
Oh, like, yeah.
In Sunday school, ways. No?
Can I say the background of the song real quick or just kind of get into its origin?
Yes.
Because this is something, Pharaoh Pharaoh, of course, is a parody of the song Louie Louie, which, you know, I'm sure.
Blew my goddamn mind.
Wait, today? Today it blew your mind?
No, not today. Not today.
Right.
But
I feel like it was definitely too late that I like put it together. I was probably like 17. Right. I was like.
This song, most famously by the Kingsmen. It was written by a guy named Richard Berry, who then sang it with a group of his called the Pharaohs. It was a group called the Pharaohs, even though it had nothing to do with the Christian conception of the song. So there is, I am so happy this exists. LouieLouieWeb.tripod.com exists.
What is that?
That's a website.
Tripod.com.
And you know what? I want everyone to Alec Baldwin this out there and consider the source. I feel like it's more reputable because it's from a time in the internet's infancy when maybe misinformation wasn't as prevalent. But
yeah, in the naive days of just trying to index things, you know, and like provide data. Uh-huh.
The history of the actual song Louie Louie, I can't recommend people look into enough. It's so interesting and fascinating. Conspiracy theories, congressional investigations into this song. I'm not kidding. Like, this is the most recorded song. Yeah, because especially for the Kingsmen version, which is the one I just played a snippet of, there was, because it's so slurred and no one knows what he's saying, even though it's just, as Richard Berry wrote, it's about a guy wanting to see his girlfriend again after a trip at sea. But the way the Kingsmen sang it, they were like, I think they're talking about fucking. We need to have an investigation into this.
It's a Rorschach test. It's like kind of a Rorschach. You can kind of hear whatever you want in it. Like,
It's so fascinating.
Dirty little senators.
So everyone look into that. But in the 70s, there was a gentleman named Tony Sobrana. It's not Tony Soprano. It's Tony Sobrana. S-B-R-A-N-A.
And Tony Soprano, he's the opposite of Tony Soprano. He's amazing at work, but he beats his family brutally.
That's right.
Brutal
that's
with his
right.
family. Oh, he's the God. Flip. He has a very wholesome job, but he's brutal at home.
Yeah, yeah. He's not good. So in 1971, this is him telling the story of how this came to be. It's a kind of a wild story. He was a senior in high school. And his two friends and him decided to get a good grade on their Bible literature project. They were going to write a rock opera full of like Bible songs. And wow. They wrote a bunch of like original stuff. And then this was the one parody that they wrote. They wrote Pharaoh, Pharaoh. And then everyone was like, this is hilarious. I mean, and I'm sure maybe it was in 1971.
Sure.
I mean, imagine hearing that for the first time.
So, oh, right.
So that happens. And you know, that's a guy he met from Young Life. And then he says, at the time I was doing music with a friend named Rick, he's gone on to have a career in Christian music. We performed the rock opera at one point as a duo called Brothers. Everybody loved it. And Marge's producer suggested we put on album. So we put on an album. One was the Brothers tunes. One was the rock opera called Journey of Faith.
God.
So
wow.
In 1972 and 1973, they're performing it. But then they stopped after that. They stopped doing Journey of Faith. And then someone at one of their Journey of Faith shows started doing Pharaoh, Pharaoh at their youth group. Didn't ask for any permission.
Whoa.
It was just like, well, let's do that. I mean, I'm sure it was like, you know, parody rule. It was like,
right.
Essentially like fat Jew, fuck Jerry situation, like a
that
meme
is,
aggregate.
Yeah, that's
like,
the church economy too. It's just like anything goes, you know, we're taking
right.
it, we're ripping it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tony Soprano goes on and lives his own little life, right? And then in 1987, he was doing music at a church in Santa Barbara, and one of the men on his music team said, like, hey, listen to this song, Tony. And he played Pharaoh, Pharaoh. And
he,
he couldn't believe it. And then he was talking about how it became extremely popular in youth groups. This was all without his knowledge.
Oh my God.
He said it appeared in a songbook without his credit, so he fixed that. And then he concludes his statement by saying, when I wrote this song, it was pretty much a dead ripoff of the Kingsman's Louie Louie. There were also two more verses. Over the years, the tune of verses has mutated, so it sounds like the chorus, so it's easier to sing in a group. Lots of fun. The hand motions, the yeah variations, the grunt. None of my doing. It still amazes me to think that this crazy little parody has had such a life. So,
I can't believe
gosh.
We have this much recorded history about this.
The
like, I would have assumed.
History.
Yeah. It would have been.
And it's
like,
dramatic. It's fraught. This is a
yeah,
fraught
history. Yeah. Lots of stealing.
LouieLouieWeb.tribe.
Yes.
Many thanks to our
without
source.
Which, without its archive, we would lose such a rich.
We would just be guessing.
That's fascinating. Also, so funny. I mean, I guess I never thought of it as a parody, which is so funny to think about. Like, yeah, a Bible parody.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely is. Yes.
And then it's like a runaway hit,
a runaway
underground.
Hit. Yeah.
Word
but
of mouth.
In a context in which essentially there's no benefit to anyone because
right,
they're just using
right.
it for church functions.
6-year-olds can't buy music.
What's that?
6-year-olds can't buy music.
And if they could, they wouldn't buy this. Well, maybe they would buy this.
I love it.
But, you know, like the verses themselves, the parody. Burning Bush told me the other day I should cut. It's just the Moses story. There's a little bit of violence. All of God's people came to the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army coming after me. I raised my rod, stuck it in the sand, and all of God's people walked across dry land.
Damn.
Caroline, you okay?
Yeah. It was funny because when I was thinking about this song, I was like, yeah, they don't go into the part of like, and God committed genocide against children that were Egyptian. Just kids.
And I murdered a guy. I had a big stutter. I was an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. It made it so cute. And I don't know if you guys did this, but a really important and possibly our favorite part was the, and then everyone would do the big like pelvic thrust. Like we were Elvis himself. Like we went for it on that. And that was
preparing
absolutely
for an uncomfortable marriage that would continue in the Christian church of eroticism and spirituality
and cutesy songs.
You're so right. I mean, you really would like almost like, here it comes, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, I'm going to do it. You guys aren't going to believe how much I'm going to go hard on this.
You know, like for a lot of college kids and teens, They have a worship face, if you know what I'm saying. Like, people in particular ways, you know.
Undoubtedly.
We had Oh Baby.
Oh Baby? Yeah. Wait, how do you mean Oh Baby?
Yeah, it would be, so let's do it all together. Okay. Pharaoh. Right. Yeah, this is pretty standard. And then Oh Baby.
Let
my people go. And then you do that part. And then, I feel like it's like a sassy finger. Yes.
Yes.
Now
what a blast.
The thing that was upsetting to me, I just didn't know this. This is a pre Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show world when I was a child. Jay Leno was The Tonight Show host. So I didn't understand the concept of lip syncing. And so when they performed it at VBS, I was like, hell yeah, well, this band's great. They sound like perfectly in tune and in pitch. And then when a kid said, you know they're lip syncing, right? I was like, what are you talking about? It was such a shattering moment for me.
Oh my gosh. That disappointment, I think, is that's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. That's like when I found out in middle school that Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray smoked weed, and I was heartbroken.
Now he'll make you a cameo about doing nothing but smoking weed. Yeah.
So sad. Yeah, the way people cheat, you know. Mm-hmm.
But I think the way people cheat is what she said.
They don't do the work.
They don't do the work. Lip syncers do not do the work.
They don't do the work.
They don't.
They're faithfully. And sorry that you're false, and we're coming at you. This is where we come at you.
But Tom Holland doing Umbrella, guys. Tom Holland.
Sorry.
You know, this is one of the only Christian songs we've talked about where it was probably equally as popular in Jewish camps and summer camps and those sort of things because it's Old Testament, so everyone can use it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So it's one of those things.
There's no Christ in this song at all.
No. He was not. No, we're seen. I mean, I know we've plumbed the depths of this song so far. I mean, Caroline makes a good point. It's kind of putting lipstick on a pig as far as a brutal Old Testament story as small falsetto children sing it.
I think also that the original singer, what an interesting bookend to a life that just to decades later for it to come back as this, a fully formed, like, what a bizarre, cathartic moment.
I can't imagine how that would feel. Yeah.
Right.
Caroline, can you imagine a parody we've written for this show coming back in 25 years and it's like gone viral on TikTok or something?
I know. Well, or just like dropping off a painting at a thrift store and then you find out it was like a huge meme among like a lot of
teams. Right, that would
just be really weird and kind of exciting, but you'd also feel cheated. Like, oh, I should have been famous for decades.
This went
on without me.
Well, he does make the point that, you know, he does get credit for it now in that songbook. But I believe he is still a practicing minister here. Let me pull up his little picture. This is Tony Sobrano.
That's
Mr. Farrow, director of worship arts at Grace Church of Marin. And then in the bio, he's one of their sons lives in Pasadena, California, a neighbor.
Went to Fuller. This is a California man.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Salinas has been playing the guitar since he saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show.
The 1985 North Bay Stand-Up Comic of the Year.
Oh,
Tony's got jokes.
Tony's got jokes for days.
His wife Michelle runs Young Lives International Student Exchange Program.
These are prominent people.
This is the face of a funny man right here.
Oh, I trust him with anything. Yeah. I would just give him the keys to my car.
First, I have the gabagool, then I tell the jokes, then I write the biblical parody. Oh, you pick up my balls, Michelle.
Kevin's in a Sopranos phase right now.
Isn't everyone in a Sopranos phase during the quarantine? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes?
That's amazing. Yeah, I had a question for y'all. I was kind of surprised that in my mind, like, this is such a quintessential Christian pop culture thing. Have you not had this on the show yet? I feel like this is like, to me, this is my experience, but this is like one of the first things that also seems like I thought you guys were going to come back in an email and be like, Nick, you get
this. That was episode two.
We've done
episode two. Episode 14. Episode 19.
This will be our fourth episode on Feral Feral. Maybe this should be a multi-part series. I don't know.
This is it.
But no, it's definitely come up before because it's such a salient, formative memory for so many people.
Absolutely.
But we didn't have any authorships, and mostly we were talking about bands or like people that everyone knew or something like this. So we didn't talk about, you know, what do they call it? Public domain songs.
That's what it feels like. Although you could do that, man. I know there's a lot to discuss as far as like the history and etymology of some of those hymns, like stuff like well, the narratives, the true life narratives behind some of those songs. Like
hey, come to GCF.
So
if you want the history and etymology of some hymns, we got don't even worry about it.
You're going to look up the story for It As Well with My Soul, and you're going to feel bad.
No, I'm just more dunking on my inability to research at some point.
Oh, my gosh. I bet there's a very dark history, too, in this very room. I don't know if you're like, very room. There's quite enough hope. It is a grim. It's like this minor key, like bizarre. But in this
there's a lot of hymns like that too. Yeah.
In this very room.
Yeah.
There's quite enough love.
Amazing grace.
Is this it?
In this very room.
Yes.
There's quite enough joy.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it.
This is a mom trying to pump herself up after the dinner party did not go well. Yeah, no, there's quite enough hope. It's good. It's good.
It's also, it's very Broadway to me, too.
Yes, yes.
Sad ballad midway through.
Well, I think Nick just shot his, he called his shot for part two of Good Christian Fun. Next time we have him on.
In this very room.
In this very room, he called it. But for now, let's give it a roast or toast, folks. Let's give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up is a holy toast, Nick. That's when we send it to heaven. Or holy roast, that's a thumbs down. We send it. Which is very harsh of us, but it has to go. It has to go somewhere. We start with Caroline.
Oh, holy toast. How could I give it anything but? And I got to say, I think these kind of songs are a precursor to music that is very popular on TikTok, which is music that lends itself to easy hand gestures. You know,
nice.
Up, down, left, right, pharaoh, pharaoh, all genius marketing.
Drop it, bust it, lick it, snuff
wow,
it.
Wow, yeah.
Shake it. Yeah, all that.
Yeah,
so,
pharaoh, pharaoh is pre-TikTok. TikTok is the future perfect.
TikTok is the logical end of Feral Feral.
Oh my gosh.
Nick, what do you give it, sir?
I'll say Carol's analysis is I'm breathtaking and totally dead on. I think that's it. It's got to be a toast. I'll say this, like the wait for the drop where I think being in youth group and that little organ comes in, you're like, wait, is this a secular song? I don't recognize this. And then when it drops, I've got to say it's one of the hardest drops possible in Christian music. And so it's gotta be a toast.
Not a stiff competition. Toast from me as well. You know, Tony understood the assignment. He literally understood his assignment in senior year of high school in 1971. He completed it. I love it. If nothing else, then for the narrative. of it. But listener, you can give it a roast or a toast yourself. Just get out there to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter and
Pokemon go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
Okay, now we're bringing it down, finally. We're dimming the lights. Boy. We're lighting the candles like a pharaoh's tomb. Oh, Nick's getting a little sleepy. He's tucking himself in. He's
bedtime in the pew.
He's laying down in the pew as I would often do at a particular age.
That sleep, I mean, it was bussing.
It was great. But Nick, we're not here to promote ourselves or plug our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. And maybe something we're enjoying in secular culture as well that we can recommend to our friends listening. And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline.
Lift me up at Caroline's Farts. And this is a really secular pick, but I have been really enjoying Corporate on Paramount Plus. It's just so funny. It's great. It's about offices, and it's very, like, kind of grim. Yeah. I enjoy it a lot.
Jake Weissman, very funny. Matt Ingbritton.
You're going to laugh.
Very funny. A lot of friends of the pod on that show too, I think. Thanks, Caroline. We turn it to Nick.
And you can find me at Nick Modernock.
They can lift you up there, yes.
And yeah, Duncanville comes back, I think, May 23rd. I think it will be back. You can watch it on Hulu.
Nice.
Hulu. What's the last great thing that you watch or listen to you want to lift up?
And the last great thing, I'm reading American Pastoral by Philip Roth. That's another one. I'm loving it.
That was the one where it's like I saw that they were making a movie, and I heard the movie's bad, so I was like, oh, I can read the book then.
Yes. Okay. I think so. But yeah, have it.
Is that a Ewan McGregor directed movie?
He's in it. Did he direct it and act in it?
No, but he's definitely in it. I don't know. Oh. I'll check it out. Well, thank you, Nick. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter. Listen, one of the last places I went before the quarantine was Philadelphia, so I'm going to lift up Mayor of Easttown, representing the state of Pennsylvania, Wooter, Kate Winslet, accent
watch
work.
Watch this, John.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun, and you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll donate $1 to charity for each review you leave. Nick? Thanks so much. You're getting
thank you, Nick. Such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Kevin, Carolyn. Thank you so much for having me. What a blessed evening.
Well, what a joy. We'll let you catch some Z's now, and there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said amen. Okay, I'm gonna try to find a sort of jazzy version of Pharaoh that I found on YouTube. Okay, when I said jazzy, I just meant slightly different.
Oh, yes. This is it. Yeah.
It's almost Caribbean. I don't know. There it is. There's the we're looking for. By the way, this is Al Pacino's favorite Christian song. Because he loves...
Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Woo!
Bye-bye. Listen to the words that I have to.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.